Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
We are back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We had a bunch of technical internet problems right there. That's right. We are an internet broadcast station. We are globally recognized by the New Zealand lacrosse team, the South African lacrosse team, and lacrosse teams all over the world. So we are going global right now. I apologize for everyone out there. We're going to bring Nate back into the show. Let's see here. Mr. South Dakota Kid, Nate D-O-double-G Dog, you got a copy on us.
Hey, guys, I don't know what happened there.
No, the internet went down here. I mean, it just went down. It completely stopped.
You guys sound like you're broadcasting from a cave right now.
From a cave right now? Is mine on?
Hello?
Okay, there we go. And you know what? It's also weird with that Blog Talk, the site that we go through, they suddenly didn't even show an episode for us anymore.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, they had no episode on.
I don't know if it's us, but I don't know if it's the internet, I don't know if it's them. So anyway.
We apologize for all our guests. We apologize for all the live listeners.
And I don't even know if we're on the same link as we were on before.
I have no idea.
Unfortunately, people might just have to catch us on demand. Now we
have no problem at all because we are on demand.
We are. We're on iTunes. You can always go to iTunes, go to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark, and you'll be able to find our past episodes. They usually upload half an hour after the show finishes. Now we're going to probably have to jump ahead here because we did lose a good amount of time there. So either next we can either go with the Final Four or our MLB AL West preview. Which one would you like to do next?
I'll tell you what, just go ahead with whatever you want to do. I'm going to pull up ESPN on here on the other computer.
So Nate, we're going to jump into the AL Central, which is your favorite division with your team. It's going to be an interesting division. I mean, we've obviously got these World Series champions, right? You would think this is the team to beat. They've been in the World Series twice in a row. And a lot of other teams are trying to mirror what they did last year, which was have an amazing bullpen. But the question is, can Kansas City even count on having a good bullpen 2 years in a row?
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. I know they lost their closer from last year, but with that depth in the bullpen, they're able to kind of move everybody back an inning. I'm not sure where Holland went, but Wade Davis is now going to move into the closer role, and I'm sure Calvin Herrera is going to move to the eighth. And I'm pretty sure they signed Joaquin Soria back, who was a Royal back in the back in the day, and I'm sure he'll probably be the seventh inning guy. So I have a hard time. What's that?
I was just going to say that they had a below 3 ERA in the bullpen, and that was really what saved the team because they didn't really have a dominating pitching staff. And there has only been one time in the last 5 years that a team had back-to-back sub-3 ERA bullpen, and I'm not sure that they can count on that again. And, without that, you look at the starting staff, it's not what you would call intimidating.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what the Royals can do this year. You know, I didn't think they would be good again last year. I really don't think they're going to be good again this year. But, I mean, they've already proven me wrong once with the World Series title. So it's going to be real interesting to see. They just know how to win, guys. They have a lot of great veterans on the team. You know, Alex Gordon, Eric Hosmer turning into a veteran. They just get timely hits, and obviously all they got to do is have a lead through six, and they're usually going to hold it.
Yeah, they play short ball. Short ball is what it's called. They play short ball. They don't hit home runs. They ding and dine man in the gaps, and, they get the hits where they want.
And, what you said about them knowing how to win is absolutely true. They're composed, and they know how to focus and do what they need to do. The starting staff will be Edison Volquez, Yordano Ventura, who maybe finally breaks out and becomes a great pitcher. Ian Kennedy on his like 19th tour of duty. Chris Young, Chris Medlin, Dylan Gee, another one of those guys who was supposed to be good and never really produced. So
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what that team does. I mean, you really can't count them out until you get there. Now, one important thing that they come across the wire, AJ Pollock, who is an all-star player for the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
He has broken his arm, I believe it is, and he is going now into surgery. Elbow, that's what it was. So he's going into surgery. You know, if you have a fantasy baseball draft this weekend, be aware of that because that's a huge.
And you guys,
huge
I'm going to do like 5 fantasy baseball drafts that are free. You guys got to tell me how to go. I'm going to try to pick players from all over the country. I mean, just so I can stay up on baseball because I'm a huge lacrosse guy in the spring. I used to be a baseball guy. I mean, with the Phillies in their demise, I used to work with Phil. Kurt Landis can attest for that. Hopefully, if I can get Kurt Landis on the show next week before they start their opening stretch there at the Coca-Cola ballpark, we will. I'd love to have Kurt on the show next week. I'm a baseball guy, and I just lost track of baseball over the last 2 years.
Fantasy baseball is a crazy sport because, you know, in fantasy football, you got to pay attention.
You have to.
On Wednesday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday to really do well. In baseball, you got to be paying attention all the time.
Because you have to.
If you don't pick up that good guy off waivers, and it's not just that one or two. It's not just the one Odell Beckham or the C.J. Anderson or, you know, something like that.
You got to pick up that shortstop. You got to pick up that right fielder.
You gotta stream your pitchers a lot of times. It's an investment. So the next team in that group would be the Twins. Now, I know, Nate, that's your favorite team out there in Minnesota.
Soda.
So the big question on everybody's list is Byron Buxton. This outfielder coming up from the minors, it looks like he may be breaking spring training with the big club. I don't know for sure yet.
I think he makes it.
He should. I mean, he's got the talent, but they may want to keep him for arbitration.
He had the 2 years ago.
Yeah, but arbitration being what it is, they might want to wait until May, like, 15th.
Right.
Now, he's gotten some comparisons to Mike Trout. So, as a Minnesota fan, do you think that Buxton can come anywhere near that kind of production?
It's a great question. The big question mark with Byron is his injuries. You know, over the last couple of years, he's dealt with a number of injuries. If he can kind of put those behind him, like you said, he's got the raw talent. I mean, he's got a killer arm. He's an incredible outfielder. He's one of the faster players in Major League Baseball. He's got some power. The guy can hit to all fields. So if he can develop, he's going to be a heck of a player. I really think he's probably a year away from, you know, being an excellent player in the majors. I think this will be a year of development for him. I still think he's going to be a good player. I think you can look for 15 homers, 30 to 35 steals. It's going to be real interesting to see.
Do you think Buxton or Berrios has the most impact as a young, maybe not necessarily, I don't know if Berrios is still a rookie or not, but which player do you think has the most impact on their season?
Well, this year, I have to go with Berrios. I mean, everything I've seen from that guy, he looks like an incredible number one pitcher. And I don't know if he's going to break camp right away with the team or not, but they've got so many veterans that they're gonna go with. I'm pretty sure he's going to start minors. But he'll be up by June, and the guy has got incredible stuff. Throws 95-plus fastball. I really think he makes a bigger impact on the team this year, although I do think Buxton overall, over the long haul, will be the bigger player.
Sure, sure. You know, it's always good to kind of get an idea of, which rookies are going to be the ones that can actually step in and help the team get over that hump. And the Twins were close last year. They can get good production from the pitching staff, especially if they can get Phil Hughes to come back and being something worth starting as opposed to last year, looking much better off. Now, another young player they got that came out last year who took the fantasy world by storm about July or so was Miguel Sano. This guy's power is almost off the charts. I mean, he is John Peterson. He is, you know, who are the other big sluggers these days? I mean, he's just one of the top power guys in the game. And what do you think is a reasonable ceiling for how many home runs he can put out of the ballpark this year?
Well, JP, I think he reminds me a lot of Ryan Howard, a young Ryan Howard. He does bat from
okay.
the other side of the plate, but I think he's got 35 homers in him this year. He's really going to have to work on keeping the strikeouts down. He does have a good batting eye, so I think his on-base percentage will be quite good. You know, people are going to want to pitch around him.
That's the big thing with Ryan Howard. You always saw the big strikeouts. I mean, he was swinging at the fences. In fact, Ryan Howard hit two shots at Coors Field that I've never seen hit before. He hit a pitching wedge off home plate into left field out of the bleachers that I've never seen hit before. And in batting practice, he hit a shot into the actual bars now on the Blake Street upper deck. He hit it into the bars. I've never seen power like that out of a guy. So if you're going to proclaim him the next Ryan Howard, I got to tell you, I like their shots.
If he could just have a few less strikeouts, that would.
Ryan Howard is the king of strikeouts.
I'll tell you what, though, man, he's got that kind of power that Howard displayed at a young age. He can. I mean, he's just a huge guy. I don't know, he's 6'5", 6'6", 250. I mean, he's definitely got that swing and that power. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do this year. I would say 35 homers is a realistic projection, but I do think he's a perennial 40-homer guy down the road.
I'm going to say that 35 homers. Okay. Nate says 35 homers. We're going to go back to that at the end of the season.
So, I mean, you got the new Young Ho Park coming out of Korea. He's transferring to American ball and looking like he's got it going on in spring training. So they have him. They'll have Dozier. They'll have Plouf, Sano. They may have Buxton for the whole year. You know, adding if Joe Mauer can do something, which, boy, he's not done much lately. You know, the lineup's good enough. The pitching staff is Hughes, Irvin Santana, Kyle Gibson, Tommy Malone, there's a reclamation project, and Ricky Nolasco, like you were talking about before, Jose Berrios, Tyler Duffy. So the pitching staff isn't really intimidating anyone, but the team overall could be good enough to challenge. So go ahead and move on to the Tigers. Victor Martinez is, and then there's just Justin Verlander, the pitcher, Victor Martinez, former catcher, now the DH. Both of these guys have been crashing and burning the last year. Do you guys think that they bounce back at all? I mean, is Verlander done? Is he more interested in dating Kate Upton?
Well, let's just say this. I think we just talked about way too much about the Detroit Tigers than we need to.
the lineup is not a joke. I mean,
I'm sorry, man. When you come down to a team like the Tigers, you never know what you're going to get. It's like shooting craps at a craps table. I know you guys all know about that. And you know how up and down that can go. They got the lineup. They can never do anything with it.
Yeah, why the lineup is not producing. I mean, they should this year, right? They got Ian Kinsler, who's last couple years probably. Nicky Cabrera still got at least one more year in the tank. Nate, I know you're a big fan of Nick.
Uh-oh. Can you guys hear me? Did we get dropped again? Oh, man. All right. Shoot, you had me for a minute. I don't know what. Gonna try calling back if you can hear me.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I'm not sure if you guys can hear me. Some definite technical difficulties going on. I'm not sure if I'm on live right now or not, but we were last talking about the Detroit Tigers before I was cut off, so I'm just going to kind of go on about that until we get Mark on the show. So we were talking about the lineup. You know, obviously Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez and Justin Upton and Nick Castellanos and J.D. Martinez. They've got plenty of pop in the lineup. They're going to score runs. A lot of question marks surrounding the starting pitching staff with Justin Verlander being the biggest question mark. They did add Ryan Zimmerman from the Nationals, so that'll help solidify the front of the rotation a bit. A lot of question marks around the bullpen. They've had that big arm, Bruce Rondon, for the last couple of years, just tons of injuries with him. Yeah, the guy can throw 100 miles an hour, but obviously that doesn't do any good if you can't get on the field. So I see the Tigers with that lineup, though, competing in a lackluster AL Central. So they'll be right in it to the end. Let's see, we've talked about the Twins. We've talked about the Royals. Who do we got left, guys? The White Sox. So that's, a sleeper team. I think they've got a lot of young talent and that they'll rebound this year. I think Jose Abreu is going to, he's a perennial 35 homer guy in this year. Adam Eaton showed a lot of promise last year. Their pitching staff is not quite as good as it was last year, but they do have young Carlos Rodon, who's supposed to be one of the better prospects out there. He had a pretty good rookie year last year. He was up and down, but we'll see what he can do. And I think the White Sox will be a lot better this year. They brought in Jeff Samardzija last year, who struggled mightily. Obviously, Chris Sale at the front of the rotation. I think they're gonna be a lot better. So we'll see them compete, until the All-Star break, and then I'm guessing they'll probably go by the wayside at that point. So I think that pretty much wraps up the AL Central. I don't know what else these guys have on tap, but.
Okay, we may or may not be live on the air right now. I have no idea whatsoever what's going on with Blog Talk Radio. I think we need to find another means of communication for the sports world. And when I say sports world, we are nationally and universally recognized amongst the sporting community. We're going to try to do our best just to keep this show together. Right now, it should be saying our theme song again, and I have no idea if we can get Nate back on the line. That'd be great. Mark, what do you think about all this?
I would say real quick, I mean, we can cut it off like 2 seconds in, but try and do a commercial break. If we don't hear that, then I don't think we're on.
All right, let's do a commercial break right now. You're listening to the Sports Events with JP and Mark.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals.
Okay, we're back live on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Mark, where were we when we actually got cut off the air again?
Well, we don't know when our internet cut us out again. I think I don't even know if we made it to the Indians or not.
I said Cleveland rocks, and that's about it.
So just a real quick recap. We don't have much time left here. Indians.
We still have 49 minutes.
Indians could be your dark horse candidate. This pitching staff is actually terrific. They've got Corey Kluber. They've got Danny Salazar. And they've got Carlos Carrasco. Carrasco was actually better than Kluber last year. Kluber should be back into his old self. And we all know that in the playoffs, your top three pitchers are what really matter. So could be a great staff for the rest of the year. And then we've got a pretty good lineup. They've got Kipnis, which is a hot and cold guy. We've got Yan Gomes ready to come back finally healthy. Francisco Lindor, the shortstop that came on to light up the fantasy world and looks like he's for real. They do have Marlon Byrd and Juan Uribe and some other, and Rajah Davis. So they've definitely got a lot of I guess you can call it experience, but I'd call it elderly people on the lineup. But, you know, not bad.
Okay, let me just check this real quick. Mr. Nate O-double-G, are you on the phone line?
I am here, guys. I don't know what happened.
Dakota Kid is now back on the phone lines. Thank God. We are back on the air, I guess. So this is an interesting morning, Mark, I have to say.
This is just
I mean, it's not April Fool's Day. It's April 2nd. I mean, but
might
it might
well
be April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I mean, I realize it's probably going to be hard for anybody who have stuck with us through the show.
And
but,
and you know what? Ron, send down a Facebook text that's saying we're back on the air. You know, just to get some listeners back on the air.
We even know if we're the same link though?
I have no idea. Just go to our page. It has to be the same link. Just go to our page and just look at the current episode going on and hit that 929-477-3204. That's 929-477-3204. If you stuck through us with all those technical difficulties, we would love to hear from you.
So it looks like it may be a new link. The old link shows an on-demand show of only 33 minutes. And so then we've got this one that's now scheduled for an hour and a half. So,
all right, so I'm going to have to do this right now. You just keep talking, Mark.
So the next team that was on the docket was the Chicago White Sox. Now, this is a team that has not been good for a while. Now, Nate, they did do some free agent signings this year to try and stabilize what was the worst defense in all of baseball and shore up their hitting a little bit and shore up their pitching staff a bit. They signed Matt Latos to pitch, who I guess he's a bad pitcher. That's the best I could say about him. And then they signed Todd Frazier, Jimmy Rollins, and Brett Lowry. So basically the entire second through third base on the infield is brand new, but I'm not sure these are good defensive players or offensive players with the possible exception of Todd Frazier. Do you think this lineup is going to do anything?
Well, they've got a few young guys we've got Adam Garcia, Jose Abreu. I think they've got a little bit of home run pop, and they're going to do okay. They're going to be better than they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup should absolutely be better than last year. Melky Cabrera, you never really know anymore. You know, is he going to produce? Is he not? Austin Jackson over from the Detroit Tigers or the Lions or whatever Detroit team it is. Do they even matter? So, I mean, the pitching staff, obviously Chris Sale is dominant. Jose Quintana is a very good pitcher who never, ever gets wins, and it's not his fault. John Danks, I can't believe he's still pitching. Carlos Rodon, he could be okay. I mean, they could have an okay 1-2-3, but with the Cubbies, you know, predicted to be possibly a World Series participant, I have a feeling that the White Sox are going to have trouble drawing much this year. So this might be one of those years that it's valuable to trade away the good talent that they have and start building for the future. I mean, is it too early to do that? I mean, the AL Central is not going to be an easy division to win.
Yeah, I don't know. There's going to be some good competitive balance there. I think all the teams are going to be real similar.
All the teams are going to be really what?
I think all the teams will be real similar. I think, you know, talent-wise, I think the Royals take a step back. I think the Twins will be real similar to what they were last year. I think the White Sox take a step forward. I think the Tigers will take a step forward. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top. I think the Royals, with their experience in that bullpen, will probably be able to pull it off again with the Tigers and the Twins.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just going to be a weird division. The Royals can't really improve anymore, and that's kind of their handicap, is that they are as good as they're going to get, which was good enough to win the World Series, so don't get me wrong. Excuse me. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, they can't improve anymore. The Twins are improving. The Tigers are improving. The Indians are very good. I still think the Indians end up taking that division, maybe the entire AL.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think they take that division.
Wow.
Well, it's all about
the Indians. How did I forget about the Indians? Yeah, they're going to be right there.
I think we got cut off when we were talking about the Indians. But, yeah, dude, with Salazar, Masco, and Kluber, and then you've got a lineup full of talent. I mean, Kipnis and Lindor and Brantley. And, I mean, who else do they have? They have a whole bunch of players on that team that can hit.
Yeah, Yan Gomes, Carlos Santana. They've got some good players.
I love that guy. Yeah, he's just so old.
I know.
He can't do much anymore. I think the Indians take that division this year. I think that their pitching puts them above everybody else. Whether or not they can win the AL in the playoffs, who knows? I mean, you know, the playoffs in baseball are proof most years that the best team is not the one that wins the World Series. I mean, the Giants were not the best team 2 out of 3 times they won the World Series. Now,
not even close.
They might have been, because they finally had offense and they had Bumgarner, who was the best pitcher in baseball the last like 3 months.
Yeah.
But the other 2 times they won the World Series, they weren't even the third best team in the playoffs. So it doesn't matter if you're the best team. It matters if you are the right team, designed correctly with the right mindset.
Yeah.
So now, did you want to hop over to NBA? Did you want to hop over to the Final Four?
I want to go to the NHL, actually.
Let's do the NHL.
Let's do the NHL, because I know we have games coming on right now. We are down to the down and dirty wild card right now, and this is proving to be one of the best wild card chases in recent history. Let's look at it. The Avs, our own Colorado Avalanche, must almost win out, or Minnesota has to lose 2 games that even have a chance. Minnesota has 2 games in hand on them right now as a tiebreak with the Avs.
And they play 81 games, is that right?
82 games.
Okay.
The Avs now have on their schedule for the remaining rest of the season. Let me just say this real quick. They really don't have much.
They have the Capitals.
They had the Capitals last night, which I think they lost. They have the Blues, which they're going to lose. The Predators, which they can win. They got Predators, or that's the same. Dallas Stars, that's a toss-up. And Anaheim, that's a toss-up.
Is that the Mighty Ducks' new symbol?
Yes.
What the heck is that supposed to be?
I have no idea.
Looks like a jet fighter from a space age video game.
That's pretty much what it is.
I don't know what in the world that's supposed to be. Maybe it's a duck beak that's kind of gross. So that's going to be an interesting lineup. And then you said that the team that they're trying to beat is Minnesota. And Minnesota has been that thorn in their side
for so long.
And now if... there's no chance. I mean, Nashville's got the same record, except they got one more. Well, they have one more win. They have less.
Well, Nashville has 91 points. Minnesota has 87. Colorado is 82. So, I mean, Colorado's 5 points.
Five points out.
Yeah, they're 5 points out. I mean, and they don't really have the schedule even to get them in there. I'm looking at the East Coast right now, and the East Coast is flying right now. The Flyers are in last place of the wild card, the second wild card in, behind the Islanders, which everyone on the East Coast just keeps winning. I hate to say it. The Flyers are 18-3-2 in their last games. 18-3-2. That's called getting hot at the right time. They just beat the Capitals in a shootout the other night on Wednesday night. The Flyers have 89 points. Detroit has 87. The Flyers have a game in hand. So they pretty much have that one locked up. But they do play their arch rival, the Pittsburgh Spunguins, twice at the end of the year here. They're going to play the Penguins on basically Sunday, April 3rd, tomorrow.
Now, Colorado did lose yesterday, but so did the Wild. So technically, I guess if they were to win out and Minnesota lost out, they could still get in.
They still could get in if Minnesota lost out. That's far-fetched if you're even going to go there. And Saturday, April 9th, the Flyers have the Penguins again. They end up – this is a great matchup. Sunday, April 10th, in Brooklyn, or this is New York Islanders, Sunday, April 10th, the Flyers end up. I mean, this is a huge game because the Flyers could jump from number 8 to number 7, which means they don't have to play the Caps, which is an arch rival, but they might have to play the Rangers, which is another arch rival.
Is it the Capitals who –
President's Trophy.
They won the earliest President's Trophy in history?
Pretty much. I don't know if it's the earliest, but they have won the President's Trophy in regarding style. I mean, they just flat out lapped the whole NHL.
Okay, so they're that much better. So is there any chance that they – I mean, is Chicago any good this year? I know that they were
Chicago
in the finals.
Got swept by Minnesota. That's the first time a Stanley Cup champion got swept by a team the next year.
But do you think they're going to compete?
They're going to compete. Oh, I guarantee you they're going to compete. But I think hockey comes out of the East this year. I don't think the West can even hold a torch to anything we do back East.
But hey, we all said that about Syracuse in terms of them not competing, and boy, they're looking at a Final Four. They're looking at a finals trip that they can win tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just jump right from hockey. I think we hit all the points we had to hit. Syracuse versus North Carolina.
Is there any chance that Detroit in hockey? Is there any chance that Detroit comes back to take that last playoff spot from Philly?
They would have to beat Philly. They'd have to beat the Penguins, and they'd have to beat the Islanders.
How come Philly is playing the same team at Penguins twice in three games down the stretch?
It's called East Coast rivalry.
Wow. And so is that a big-time rivalry?
I hate the Penguins.
The Penguins? Okay.
If I could go on.
Is it because it's in-state rivalry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like Philly and the Steelers, like the Eagles-Steelers, that's not an in-state rivalry.
Well, they're not even in the same division.
Yeah. Flyers-Penguins, we hate each other. I mean – There was a game.
Like Giants, Dodgers, or Red Sox, Yankees?
Let's just say this. 4 years ago, not even the last game of the season, they're all going into the playoffs. There was a 17-minute bench brawl that just erupted on the ice that they literally kicked both teams off the ice with 2 minutes to go in the game. I mean, they had to. They called penalties on every player that was even on the bench, the ice, the coaches. They all got kicked off. They ended the game.
The one dream I have, and I know they'll never do this in hockey, but if they would want to make that game good for TV, what they should do is they should have a large panoramic camera inside the scoreboard, and so you can watch down on the Eagle's eyes view. Because then you can
so you
want to
play it like EA Sports.
I want to be able to see the puck. And I've been to live games, and I can see the puck every which way, every second, and I know
TV,
where it goes.
You just look where the players are skating.
But on the TV, you can't see the puck until after it's in the net. It's just stupid. It's pointless.
But if
you do it from above, you could see everything.
I'll tell you what. You watch a hockey game with me, I'll tell you exactly when the puck's in the net.
I know it because I see the siren go off. But when I've gone to Avalanche games live, there's no question. I know exactly what's going on at all times. I can see the puck all the time. So I just think that they need to change the TV angles because doing it from the side, when you've constantly got the puck, the sticks and the skates in front of the puck, makes it just really hard to see. But it's not really designed for TV anyway. So let's see. How much time do we have left?
We still have another 35 minutes and 41 seconds.
So let's hit the NFL real quick.
Go for it.
Not much has happened, but there are some significant developments. Terrence Potroast Knighton has now joined New England for a one-year contract, $4.5 million. Again, New England signs a great player at a bargain basement price. He's going to have a massive year, and everyone's going to wonder why the Patriots are so good again, and it's these kinds of signings. This guy is a fantastic run stopper. He can create pressure on the quarterback. He's going to replace the guy that they traded away to get line help. I mean, just it's a great move. Nate, are you still there?
Oh, we lost Nate.
Oh, again. Okay.
All right, we did lose Nate. Nate, call back in, please.
So I think that's a good sign. And then Seattle signs Chris Clemens. They basically brought him back. He had played for Seattle previously. And now he's not probably going to start, but he gives them some nice depth. And they may need that because they may be getting to a point where they're going to start losing some of that secondary.
Well, we got to bring Nate back in because Denver is matched up against North Dakota in the Frozen Four. On the other side, we got Boston College and Quinnipiac. That's going to be
April 7th.
Quinnipiac is up
New York?
Yeah. Quinnipiac, New York? I think it is New York. Ron, you want to confirm that for us?
Sounds like an almost Canadian name.
It might be Buffalo, actually. I want to jump back into hockey real quick just because our boys are making a run at the national championship. They're in the Frozen Four right now. It's going to be in Tampa, Florida. I have no idea why they do the Frozen Four in Tampa, Florida. I did not intervene to – I didn't – what do you got? I did not intervene to –
Oh, Quinnipiac is in Connecticut.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. I did not mean to interrupt your NFL comment, but I have to give our Pios a very much shout out. They're going to play North Dakota, which I think they split the home and home series this year. They already beat Quinnipiac. They already beat Boston College. I know that. Denver is now sitting on April 7th, ready to go to the finals. I mean, that's a one game series. That's on ESPN2, folks. Go watch the Denver Pios, the Pioneers of Denver, Colorado. Frozen Four action live from Tampa. God, I
figure most of the country doesn't even know that there's a Denver University.
They don't.
They use all we have.
You know, the worst part is they are 12,500 and some odd students, and Notre Dame is 12,000 and like 300 some odd students.
And people actually like Notre Dame. I don't understand that. I mean, as long as your coach is Lou Holtz, how could you ever like that team?
Well, it's the Midwest, and people just go nuts for anything in the
Midwest.
Well,
and don't forget how big Catholicism was. I mean, that whole region was all Catholic.
Well, it was.
So,
I mean.
You know, I mean, and apparently Jesus loves football. So, you know. but, hey, I mean, Rudy was
no,
a good movie. And
Jesus loves Joe Paterno.
And, by the way, we do want to send out condolences to Sean Austin.
Yes, thank
you. His
mom
is Patty Duke. I didn't know that until she died.
I did not know it either until I saw it on the news.
So apparently she gave birth to a hobbit. And
a hobbit?
Yeah, he's a hobbit. He's Rudy. He's Mikey from the Goonies. So anyway, we do feel bad anytime you see
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll get right back into the NFL. I apologize to Mark. I want to jump in there with the Frozen Four real quick. I had to do it. Denver's in there. I know they're in
there.
When
does the game start?
April 7th. It's not today. It's going to be an 8:30 p.m. Eastern start, so 6:30 our time. Make sure everybody to tune in for our Denver Pios. Hockey live on ESPN2. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We want to thank EKFit.net, Ernie over there at EKFit.net, and SageMediaLLC.com, Kyle Corbel over there. Those guys are great, man. Get in contact with them. We'll be right back after the quick commercial break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Coming to you live from Veranda High Point, Veranda Apartment Complex, beautiful South Denver. We're overlooking a beautiful sunshine pool right now as we go into the NFL. Mark,
you know
it
what?
Away.
Just real quick, jumping back into our baseball AL West, it looks like the Indians have officially delegated the Chief Wahoo to the secondary logo. They're now using the scripted C, not scripted, the print thin C, the red C that they have had on their uniforms a bit. That's now their new symbol.
So basically, the Cavalier C.
Very similar, yeah. But it's a little bit more like a typing in. They're just trying to stay away from the crap storm that the Redskins are going through right now.
Well, they're just sellouts because no one blames the Cleveland Indians for being a Redskin.
No, but a lot of groups don't like it because it looks like it is a goofy symbol. Now, I thought it always looked funny and entertaining.
No, it was a great symbol.
But the Redskins, on the other hand, are
a derogatory symbol, and it always has been. That's why I hate the Redskins. Yeah, that's why I always hated the Redskins.
But hey, that's Dan Snyder. I still don't understand why Dan Snyder isn't willing to change it, because then everybody would have to buy all brand new merchandise. And since he cares about nothing but money, I mean, he doesn't care about winning. That's obvious from the way he runs the franchise. So
I think Dan Snyder should be scalped. In fact, let's start a petition. How can we start a petition, Ron? How can we get a petition up to get Dan Snyder scalped?
We could start a White House petition. You only need 10,000 signatures, and then they have to answer.
Oh, we can get that in a second, man.
I think so. Let's
go ahead
and
start one. Let's get him scalped. We're going to do that after the show. Dan Snyder scalped.
And so the other big football news is Colin Kaepernick made it to April 1st. And April 1st was a big day, right? Because
he's
that guaranteed
on the hook.
His salary.
Yeah, the 49ers are on the hook for his salary now.
Although the great Cecil Whammy, who might be the smartest football person in the state of Colorado, had found out that it didn't matter if he got signed or not because of a clause in the contract, and he was hurt at the end of the season on IR, they had to pay him for the next season no matter what. So they were stuck.
Now, was he hurt or did they bench him?
No, he was on the IR. He had three bad injuries, all of which required surgery in the offseason. So he's still recovering from surgery now. So,
but they're still on the hook to pay them that money.
But I'm saying is either way, they were going to have to pay him. That's why they wanted to trade him so bad, because they knew.
See, I never heard that.
No matter what,
all
they
week
had
long.
To pay him. Yeah.
I never heard that all week long.
So that's the big deal, was that he was going to be. Now, his salary is guaranteed now at $11.9 million a
year. Yes, it is.
Now, he's worth roughly $12 to $13 for the year.
That
stupid gimmick quarterback joke play that he does. I mean, I don't understand how anybody falls for it.
I'll give him 50 cents.
And the thing is, the rumor is the Broncos are still interested in him if they get him for like a seventh-round pick. How can they afford him? They have $1.6 million in cap room. When they get rid of Clady, they're going to have about 12. They need six for the draft. How does this happen? Are we really going to have a Colin Kaepernick signing bonus, taking money from the team for the next 3 years for a guy to play for one season to prove that he's not any good?
It's going
to
be the Dirty Sanchez or Paxton Lynch coming in if the
take
Eagles
either
don't
one
take
of them. Take either one of them.
I mean,
absolutely.
If you're relying on the Dirty Sanchez, you're going to play lower than 500 ball.
Nope. I think Sanchez takes us to the AFC Championship almost.
Not even close.
Well, think of it. If you bring in Kaepernick, now all of a sudden Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are worthless because he can't throw. He has no accuracy whatsoever.
Can't throw either.
Sanchez can throw much better than Kaepernick.
That's apples and oranges.
But he can throw. He can at least pass. And he has accuracy on his passes. He can't throw it deep, but he can, and he doesn't make the best decisions. Kaepernick can't make any decisions. Kaepernick is first read, running. First read, running. And now that all of the defensive coordinators have tape on him and know how his tendencies go,
he can't run.
Linebackers will demolish him.
Yeah.
He will get crushed every year he plays, unless he does it what Michael Vick did. If he leaves the league for 3 years to 4 years, all the defensive coordinators turn over, and they're all new defensive coordinators. When
so
he
you're
comes
saying
back,
he should go
he
to jail?
He could have a good year. No, I think he should go away from football for 3 years, come back, and he'll have one more good year. And
okay,
then
so how do you do that? Go to jail?
No, go to Canada.
Go to Canada.
Go to somewhere
where
they don't know how to play.
Go to the Alouettes.
Yes. Go to the Alouettes. Why not
go to the
Alouettes. Go play with Michael Sam. And
Michael Sam got cut.
I know. And then that's the thing about the Broncos, though, is that Broncos are technically $1 million under the cap right now, and they have to have six for the draft.
They have to.
Position.
They have to get rid of somebody else,
especially if they trade up. Now they're supposed to get rid of Clady, so that should free up a lot.
I'm going
to
tell you this. The Broncos are looking at a subpar 500 season this year.
Wow.
And
I'm
going to say
so I
Kansas City
really
and or the Raiders are going to take that spot in the AFC West as champions. The Broncos will not do it.
I can see.
I'm going to put the stone cold lock right now. Not even before OTA start. Stone cold lock is the Broncos will not be AFC West champions.
If the Broncos have significant injuries in the secondary.
Unless they get Fitzy.
Oh, I would definitely take Fitzy. Now, I've heard rumors that Talib could get cut. based on the salary cost, that would be disastrous. That would hurt.
That's another piece of the defense that was dominant that's gone. I mean, how many pieces have they lost?
Well, we don't have
defense?
A replacement for him. That's the problem. We have a replacement for everyone else.
There's a replacement, but they're not as good.
No, but that Tlaib would be a painful loss because now if we lose Tlaib, you can no longer do the outside coverage man-on-man and then have the rest of the defense go after the quarterback like Wade Davis was doing. Now, from the way I see it is the Broncos, if they don't have a lot of injuries on defense, they finish 10-6. If they play really well, they finish 11 or 12 wins because they still get the 2 wins against San Diego. They'll get
I don't
one
think
win against
10
the Chargers.
And 6 wins that division.
That might not. Now, I don't think Kansas City's doing it. I think Kansas City is ripe to come back to reality with what their actual talent level is.
I think
is.
Kansas City gets better this year.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I think their defense takes 4 steps back. Their linebacker is not going to be ready to play.
Watch Andy Reid's draft.
And they lost their cornerback. Boy, that's going to be hard to replace on that team. That
depends
on those two players.
See what the Raiders do.
Raiders are going to be good. No question. Raiders are going to be dangerous, and I worry about the Raiders. But I think the hoopla about Sanchez is overblown. I think he's by far a decent quarterback. You need a running game and a strong defense, and he'll take you to the AFC
Championship. I would have started Sanchez over Bradford any day with the Eagles camp, but in that instance, I'm going 8-8 at best.
Well, yeah, but that has more to do with the fact that Chip Kelly got rid of all the talent.
Even with talent, it's 8-8 at best.
Come
on, butt fumble.
How do you
butt fumble. Butt
so,
fumble.
So one bad play, and that's the career, huh?
No, he had more than one bad play, but that's the one he's known for. Butt fumble.
One play. I'm not.
When
I'm,
you
I'm,
go off tackle and you run into the tackle's big ass.
So
butt,
we've got Nate written down for the number of homers. We're having you written down that Sanchez is going to be a train wreck.
He's going to be a train wreck.
So I can't wait to see how that goes once the season starts.
Train wreck.
NBA news. Okay, we were talking before about idiots who can't handle their relationships correctly or don't have the common sense to not
get
married
while
they're still stars.
If you and me sat down in a room and I videotaped you talking about, let's say your fiance, let's say we're out and about on the town, we're in a strip joint and you're hooking up with a chick in the champagne room and I'm videotaping it right there. And I'm sitting there going, oh, thanks for the video. How does that get leaked? It's called You Wanted to Get Leaked.
Yep. Yep.
I mean,
he thought it was funny. He's 20 years old. He thought it was funny. He didn't think about the fact that this guy is actually in his 30s and trying to get married.
I like what Antonio Pierce said, and I like what every NFL player said. In an NFL locker room, that guy would not get out of there alive.
No.
He'd get taken out on stretcher.
And it sounds like he's not having a good time in the Laker locker room.
No.
They are not. They won't.
Kobe
they won't
actually
him,
laughed about it.
They won't
it.
Shower with him. They won't.
Would you want to shower with that guy?
I'm just saying that they're ostracizing him from the team is what they're doing.
I'll tell you what, you might want to give him a golden shower, but I mean, it's...
Oh, R. Kelly plays for that team? I didn't know that.
Oh.
And
Oh,
right. There's no little kiss. I forgot that doesn't work.
Oh boy.
But you know.
Oh my God, that. People.
Well, but, you know, this is the Lakers are a train wreck. They're a joke right now, which no one could be happier about. I mean, who likes the Lakers?
I love
Lakers.
The Lakers. I'm a Sixers and a Lakers fan.
How can you like the Lakers?
It's Kobe. It's the Black Mamba.
Right. Kobe is one of the biggest embarrassments in the history of the sport.
No, he's one of the best players in the history. I'll take Kobe in this prime.
That's like saying Ty
over
Cobb
LeBron.
is a wonderful beacon for MLB. He was great, but he was still an a-hole. You know?
I will take Kobe Bryant over LeBron Fraud James any day of the week.
I wouldn't.
In his prime. In their prime.
I would say that Kobe was a better scorer and a better.
He's the Mamba.
Well, that's nice that he took that name from Kill Bill somehow. But, you know, he was also a joke. This guy had a chance to win 9 to 10 titles and go down as one of the greatest ever. And he couldn't do it because he couldn't stand the fact that a single other player on the team got any press. In fact, he couldn't stand his coach getting any credit for them winning. That's just sad and pathetic. The guy is a complete egotistical idiot, and I am glad
he's
done.
The Mamba, dude.
I can't wait for him to be gone.
He's
an embarrassment. He's a criminal. He's a rapist, and he's a joke. Nobody can have respect for that guy. I'm sorry.
LaFraud's a joke because he wants to leave. We got to give a quick update. The Flyers on Wayne Simmons' tipping goal are now 1-0 over the Ottawa Senators. Flyers on the run to make the playoffs, baby. The Flyers are up 1-0 over the Senators in the second period with a 1:30 to go. It's a power play goal by Wayne Simmonds.
Does Canada have Senators?
They have Senators, and they're not going to have a single team in the NHL playoffs for the first time in history.
Wow, that is kind of wild. Of course, they don't have as many teams as they used to, which probably doesn't help.
No, actually, they have as many teams as they used to because Winnipeg got their team back.
Oh, after the Avalanche left?
No, that was Quebec. See, you're an uninformed Colorado fan. Once again,
Quebec's
I have...
not in Canada?
Quebec is in Canada.
So they lost the Avalanche?
Yeah, the Avalanche.
And they got another team back?
No. Winnipeg.
So there are less teams in Canada now than there used to be.
No, Winnipeg lost their team, and they got them back.
After the Avalanche left.
Yes. So
how many times
are
going to ask you the same question?
Well, no, you've got Vancouver now. You've got Ottawa, Toronto. You've got Montreal. And they have the same amount of teams.
Okay. So they got a team back after the Avalanche left.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I was saying.
Yes.
Okay. Back to that issue with D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young. So Nick Young is supposed to is engaged to marry pop star, rap star Azalea, Iggy Azalea.
Did you see the latest picture of her? She looks absolutely ugly.
She doesn't do anything for me at all. She looks weird.
I mean, when she looked different, I mean, she was cute. I mean, now she just looks hideous.
I didn't know her before, so, you know, I really don't have any sense. I have no idea what her music is
hideous.
Like.
Her music is hideous.
All I know is that when I started listening to the Next Generation music and someone played Kanye West songs for me, and I tried to figure out why he gets paid to make music when it's so bad. Couple of songs where he has other people singing sound okay, but his songs are
I think Kanye
terrible.
Gets just get paid just to get paid to somebody wants to pay him. I think he has a contract that he has to get paid no matter what he does.
I saw somebody wearing a shirt that said something like Kyrie, Chloe, Courtney, Kim, something in Kanye. Like they were celebrating the Kanye
well,
family.
Well, no. If we're going to go on the Kanye West, I mean, besides Taylor Swift debacle, I mean, Kanye, we have the College World Series on right now, by the way. People, we're going to go there next year. We might broadcast live even. I don't know. Kanye West fiasco. So Paul McCartney, I have no idea why Paul McCartney would even stoop to this level. One of the greatest Beatles ever did a song with Kanye West, and all Kanye's fans said, "Oh, Kanye's such a nice guy. He's gonna make this guy a star." I'm like,
he's gonna blow Paul McCartney up.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you guys grow up under a rock, or did you grow up under a crack rock?
Well,
or?
They're growing up in the age of the auto-tune, where there's no talent involved. There's no. It's all processed.
It's called the 10-pound crack rock they grew up under.
Yeah, but it's just pathetic. So
it's
anyway,
pathetic. It was pathetic.
So
we got to get back on sports.
But you see the kind of thought processing and mental intellect used by these young players to think that you could actually basically destroy your teammate's engagement by telling his fiance that he's cheating on her. Not going to work so well. But then again, let's also be honest. Nick should not have been cheating on her.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to video right now. And whatever you say is going to go on the internet.
Fantastic.
No, I'm just kidding.
everything I say is gold. So.
Oh, you're golden, dude. You're the golden child.
So your favorite player, LeBron, is there's some...
Well, LeFraud is probably going to be a fraud again and leave Cleveland.
Well,
he promised to bring a championship, and I don't think he's going to do it with... this roster or any other roster.
The question really is, what's wrong in Cleveland? Because you've got a team that's dominating the East. Dominating it. It's over. No team is going to come out of the East in the finals except for the Cavaliers.
Toronto. Not even close.
They will destroy them.
Can beat them.
Nope. If they lose, how they beat them? If they lose more than three games.
Because they can go big down low.
If they lose more than three games on their way to the finals, I'll be shocked. Now, I'm not going to say they're all healthy.
Not going to say that they're assuring.
Last year, if they have Love and they have Kyrie for that series against the Warriors, who knows what happens? You know, the Warriors are better this year, obviously. I don't think anybody's stopping the Warriors except for possibly the Spurs.
They haven't won in San Antonio since 97.
That's the problem.
That's the big thing.
But they're going to have home field. So as long as they can hold serve, they're going to win.
Can they hold serve, though?
I think they can. But, you know, the thing about San Antonio is so crazy is, you know, everybody – at least we used to think, right? We think of Ginobili, we think of Parker, we think of Duncan. Those aren't their stars anymore. Those aren't even their, like,
they
big
really
players
aren't.
Anymore. It's Aldridge, it's Kyrie Leonard, it's who's that new point guard they got? His name is eluding me. Those players are actually more important
in terms
of that team being so good.
Pop coaches that team like a college like a college team. He is the best coach. And unfortunately, Golden State's owner ran his mouth this week about being the premier franchise in all of the NBA. And Skip Bayless
kind of say that right now.
But look at what San Antonio has done. They are right behind them on the second best season ever.
Yeah, they're going to be about, what, three or four losses behind them.
Yeah, that's it.
That's amazing.
That's it.
Yeah.
And all
they beat the Warriors.
They did. And all we do is talk about the Warriors and Steph and the Dubs and
it all goes down to the fact that the San Antonio is still viewed, even though they're not actually this way anymore, they're still viewed as an all defensive team.
Yeah.
And a boring team. They're actually not that way anymore. They actually score a lot of points.
They
now,
do score a lot of
but
points.
But they're not the sexy type, right? They don't hit the super deep threes.
Nope.
They don't do the massive shattering dunks.
Nope.
They just do fundamental basketball.
Tim Duncan doesn't dunk the basketball anymore.
Nah. Mr. Fundamental.
He lays it in.
That's his name, Mr. Fundamental.
Yeah.
He's still one of the only players that actually hits it off the glass when he's
Tim
close.
Duncan came out of college when I came out of college.
Wake Forest, yeah?
Yeah, Wake Forest.
I
did by no means go to Wake Forest.
But, you know, you think about some of those players, you know, you think about the players in the NBA who were no doubt draft picks, you know, number ones.
Yeah.
Right? And there haven't been that many of them, really. I mean, even Michael Jordan wasn't a number one pick. Now,
Not even close.
LeBron was a guaranteed number one. You know, Tim Duncan was a guaranteed number one. Other than those two, I can't think of one in the last like 10 years, 15 years that was really a guaranteed number one. And the crazy thing is a lot of these years they were bunched up with great players, right? Because when you were with LeBron and then you had Carmelo Anthony and then you had Dwayne Wade, and then you had Durant even that same year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or Durant maybe in the next year, but like I said, it's always clustered, you know, and then you have another year where it's just kind of open. And just think of how crazy it was for San Antonio, what it did for a franchise to get a number one pick when their number one player goes down for a season. They somehow, from the 14th spot or something in the lottery, get the number one pick, get the no doubt number one guy, and since then they've been amazing. Great, great, great GM and great coaching, of course, but –
great ownership, great fan base. I mean, I don't like anything Texas, but San Antonio Spurs are first-class organization.
But that's why the Nuggets need to somehow, by a miracle, get that number two or three pick in the draft and actually get a game changer. Well, I mean, but if they get Buddy, you know, that would at least be something. The Warriors, now they are 96% odds to break
the
record.
That was before last night's loss. I think they probably dropped about 93.3% to break the record.
Which is still a darn good percentage.
It is.
You know, so, I mean, now I want to make sure that I actually remember. It's 72 wins from the Bulls. Is that right?
I believe it's 72.
72 and 10, right?
No, 72 and 8.
No, they play more than 80 games, though. So it must have been 72 and 10. Because I'm wondering if, because now I don't know.
It's 74 and 8. I can swear it was 8 losses.
Oh, I got to look that up real quick because I'm not sure.
I think it was 8 losses.
From what I know, it looks like they were 72 and 10.
Okay.
My
bad.
The Warriors have more games at home than on the road to finish out the season. In fact, they have most of their games at home.
Yeah.
So that's why they should do it, because they're going to be playing at home all the time.
That's why the percentage is so high.
Now, here's a question. When they hit –
they just lost at home, though.
If they get – who'd they lose to?
Celtics.
Really? Celtics did not expect the Celtics to be any good
Bean
this year.
Town,
that's weird.
Went into the Oracle and beat them last night.
Can we have 5 or 6 years where Boston is irrelevant in sports, please? Tired of the Patriots, tired of the Red Sox, tired of the Celtics, tired of Bruins. I'm just tired of everything. Didn't they win all 4 major sports not that long ago?
Yes, they did.
When they won every single title, and you're just like, really? I mean, I love Boston, the city. I'm not ripping on the city, but no city deserves to have that many championships. I mean, I know that they suffered for a long time. But
your khakis and your khakis are the same thing.
I mean,
one's one's khakis.
Hey, they're wicked good, but, you know, it's not, you know.
You know what? New England's not going to be bad as far as I can see, unless Brady gets hurt.
Oh, until Belichick retires, they're not going to be bad.
Boston can be bad. And the Bruins, I'll tell you what, they're going to get taken out by somebody in this playoff, especially if the Flyers make it in. The Flyers are on a roll right now. They are the hottest team in hockey.
Really?
By far. 18-3-2.
So in hockey, is being hot better than being good going into the playoffs like it is in some sports?
Yes. If you are hot going into the playoffs and you're an 8 seed or 7 seed,
they're hot, do you say that they're hot like they're scoring, or are you saying they're hot because their goalie is hot?
their goalie's hot, and they're scoring, and their defense is scoring.
Because it seems like if your goalie is hot, nothing else matters in hockey in the playoffs. Because I remember Martin Brodeur seemed to just take over the playoffs for the Devils.
Yes.
And they would dominate. Same thing with Waugh. When Waugh would get hot for the Avalanche, took him to 2-3 titles.
And that's why Larmoff will never, ever be a playoff goaltender. He will not get hot.
Who's he play for?
Colorado.
Oh, he's their goalie.
He just lost again last night.
Frustrating.
If you get hot players and hot, if you get a hot team going into the playoffs, you're in trouble. The only thing that really scares me is they might play the Rangers, and the Rangers are faster than them, and they might outskate them.
Maybe
that's
really
what bothers me, and that's why I love the Denver North Dakota matchup. In the Frozen Four, Denver is a very fast team. They are a very physical team. They have great goaltending, and I love this matchup. I think they're in the finals, man.
Yeah, I was wondering about, I always think about what could happen is if eventually the antitrust lawsuits do go through, which I doubt it will ever happen, but if it were to happen with pro sports and it eliminated the drafts, can you imagine how crazy it would be if in all the sports now every player coming out of college was a free agent and there was no draft.
Jesus,
that'd make for it's not really fair when you think about it, right? Because it's not fair if you're the best player in football, you're automatically going to one of the worst teams in football.
Yeah.
And now sometimes you'll get lucky and it'll be a team that just happened to be in a bad position, like Von Miller going to the Broncos, right? He just slid into a thing that was a team that had the base that they needed, and they just needed the quarterback, and that changed everything.
That's why I think Goff and his small hand span might just drop to maybe a 20th spot and get to a good team.
Well, that's what you got to hope for. In fact, I know it costs you some money, which you don't ever want to do that in football when you can get injured and career over. But you think if you're a great team, and especially if something like Cleveland or Tennessee is actually on their way up, but Cleveland, they're never going anywhere.
They're not going to do
anything. There's some other train wrecks.
Sorry,
teams.
Kurt Landis. Cleveland is doing nothing. He's a huge Cleveland fan.
I want Cleveland to do well because I know people who are Cleveland fans, and I think the Browns deserve to finally feel good again.
They should.
But I just they constantly have bad ownership. They constantly have bad scouting. They constantly have bad GMs. They don't know how to build a team, and I don't know why it's so hard. I'm not in the industry. I've never done it. I'm not claiming that I could do it. But we've seen other teams be disasters and then pick themselves up and at least become respectable, if not good. Like Miami, right?
Miami's
been respectable. They haven't
been good. Where it comes down to? Scouting.
They just don't pay for it?
They don't pay their scouts to do their jobs. And scouting is their biggest problem.
Sounds like the Colorado Rockies, who can't ever have a good team because they don't pay their scouting.
Well, they don't have scouts. I mean, they don't. They're not on the payroll.
Just dumb. Did we want to take a commercial break before we do
NCAA? Yeah, let's do that real quick. All right, we'll be right back.
So, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit FireAdapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Live from the conference room. We are now going to break into NC2A Final Four action for the remainder of the show. I know it's been a long show. It's been a difficult show. We've been kicked off and on two or three times, left and right, and it's just been horrible. I got to go real quick. Let's just do the matchups. Villanova, Oklahoma. Villanova lost to Oklahoma by 20-plus points in Pearl Harbor the first week of the season. Now, number two, North Carolina has beaten Syracuse twice this season. Now, the last time anyone in the Final Four and or championship game that lost twice to a team in the season was 30 years ago, and Rolly Massimino and the Villanova Wildcats beat Georgetown and John Thompson.
Yeah, they got to hope that they can repeat that feat. I mean, there's really no reason to think Syracuse can win this game because North Carolina has been the best team in the tournament, bar none.
Bar none.
They just played. They just destroyed everyone they played, or at least dominated them overall.
They have.
But you know what? I mean, if there's one thing I guess you have to learn at this point, don't count Syracuse out.
You can't count a Jim Boeheim coach team out of anything.
You know, it's all. Also, you got North Carolina is a big scoring team. Syracuse is that top-notch 2-3 zone that seems to stifle scoring. I don't know. Syracuse is the fourth double-digit in history to make the Final Four. If they win tonight and they go to the finals, they'll be the first double-digit seed to ever play in the final.
I would love to see Villanova-Syracuse final.
That'd be fun.
That'd be more than fun.
For one thing, it would give Villanova a decent chance to win a title, and if they didn't win, it would give Syracuse a chance to be the longest seed ever to win, and I don't think anybody hates Syracuse. You know, that Syracuse isn't a team that you can hate.
I'll tell you what. Here's where I grew up in basketball. Villanova, number one. North Carolina, number two, because I had friends that were Duke fans, and I hate Duke.
Yeah, who doesn't?
And Syracuse, number three.
Interesting. Because you guys were close?
No, it's just because I love the Carrier Dome. I love Jim Boeheim and the way he coaches his players.
Boeheim is very popular.
He reminded me of Joe Paterno so much, the way he coached everybody. He coached team mentality.
Old
not
school.
Super, yeah, old school. And like I said, Villanova 1, Carolina 2, Syracuse 3. So I have the best of all of the worlds right now.
So real quick, on the Villanova Sooners game, it's a three-pointer game because you've got Oklahoma, the second-best shooting team in three-pointers. Villanova, another very good three-pointing shooting team, although they're playing in NRG Stadium.
Terrible game.
Where no
terrible place.
Three-pointers.
You can't hit a shot in that stadium.
Got Buddy Held, fourth-best three-point shooter in the league at 46.5%. Villanova's John Woodard shot 45.9%. So, you know, and this is most starting seniors in the lineups in history.
Well, overall, Villanova is 55% from the field and 49% from three-point land. Oklahoma's almost the same. You got Syracuse playing that triangle defense that Phil Jackson made famous, and offense and defense. And you've got a Carolina team that's just on a run and destination right now that there's no tomorrow. And I think Carolina overtakes them, unfortunately.
But in a team of, in a year of incredible upsets, I'm hoping for another upset.
I'll tell you what,
I'm hoping for two more, to be honest.
Villanova, Syracuse final. That's my pick. What's your pick?
I'll go ahead and go Syracuse, Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma. I hate that. Okay. We want to thank everyone that actually stuck through this show. Please listen to it on demand. It's a great show. Trust me. Thank you, everybody. Check us out on www.blogtalk.com.